You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
A new world order.
Excuse me. Has anybody seen a white rabbit?
That was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it?
When we are successful, we will be. We have a real chance at this new world order.
They sound crazy, so who cares? But it could totally 100% be true because we know the government is lying about every single thing.
Welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones, and fuck am I excited to bring you guys this show today because, man, this guy is like one of the people that I had on like in the beginning days of White Rabbit, and I've gone through so much fucking shit where I'm like, everybody hates me. I've lived in mansions. I've lived in the fucking park. And at my lowest points, I've seen this guy go live living in his fucking car and then the very next day go conquer a snow-filled mountain. And bro, if there is anybody that people out there should look up to as a person that like never fucking give up, no matter how bad shit gets, it is this fucking guy. My friends, my lady, my whoever you are listening to this, fucking Fonz Dot is in the building. What is up, bro?
Yo, what's up? That's an introduction for sure. Oh, man, life's good. Life's good. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here. It's been a long time, 2 years.
Has it been 2 years? So yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I flaked on you one time. You were supposed to come on my show. And then I was like, let's reschedule. And you were like, my time is worth money. So you're going to have to pay me next time you want me to come on my show. And I was like, well, I'm just as broke as you. So that's never going to happen.
Yeah, because I was busy in those days. And I actually was trying to get my business to make sure I was like spending money with my not making money with my hours. And I canceled on a client for you to do the podcast one day. So I was really choked about that. So I said, if you want me, you have to pay for an hour of my time to pre-book me for a podcast for a deposit for $50 is what I said. I remember that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's not like
I canceled on a client. And it was just like, so I had a client that day instead that I could have had. And then that's the day you want to do the podcast. And I was just like, It's a little joke, man. That sucks, man.
So you actually lost money on that day. Yeah. I really apologize.
See, that's
really,
why I was like,
can you bring the microphone?
I was like, I need $50.
Can you bring the microphone a little bit closer to your mouth?
Yeah. So we can do this.
I mean, you don't have to cover your face, bro, but yeah.
Let's see. Is this better?
It sounds a little, I mean, it's, Ah, man, when we did the test run, you sounded amazing, but for some reason now you're a little bit muffled. But it's okay, man. We can rock with it. I've had people on that talk on their fucking phone and it sounds like shit. The message is what's important, okay? So
how's the gain now? I just turned the gain up a little bit.
And you still sound muffled as fuck, bro.
Muffled, yeah. Man, it's just the type of mic I use, I guess.
It's fine. I can understand what you're saying. So let's get to it, man. Fucking you went from living in your car to,
yeah,
I mean, still making music, still going out. And hang on, let me set this phone.
Let's start from right when the last time we were talking. So the last time we talked, I was in a brain injury clinic because I got hurt at work.
My
boss dropped a light on my head plumbing. And we didn't know it at the time, but it turned out from the MRIs later that I broke my neck when that happened. And so I was getting like slip disc issues. And so I have osteophytosis in my spine and my neck and my T5. So that's bone on bone. I have like no disc anymore. And like, because the bone's been grinding so much and I have had compound injuries going down, like I have like micro fractures. So I have bone spurs all like growing between my like vertebrae all in my neck now. So the injury actually did quite doozy on me, which sucked. And then when I moved out of the brain injury clinic, we had Breakout West, like a music conference coming up soon. And my landlord needed me out of my place in Cranbrook where I was storing all like my music gear. So I was in like a serious bind and had to move into my car. So this is what you're talking about. Cause then all of a sudden it was like, I'm moving into my Subaru car, storing all my music gear at a cousin's house in Kelowna because like I drove to Breakout West to this music conference with no money. I had to pawn my guitar and I had to pawn my mic just to be able to go to the conference and get back to my house to finish unpacking to move into my car. And within a month after that, all these ice climbers and people that I know, they literally all pitched in. I'm going to turn my gain down. They all pitched in and sent me to Costa Rica.
No way, bro.
I paid no money. They paid for everything. Like, so I literally just had to like get my own flights, which were so cheap. I booked the flights for just a couple $100 because I was like, found some cheap deals on like some layovers that were crazy and whatnot. And they like paid for my whole trip down to Costa Rica. So I spent a month in Costa Rica homeless, sleeping on the beach and in a person's backyard I knew, in a hammock I brought and a tent I brought.
How was that, dude? Yeah. Talk about life experiences, man. Yeah. I think that people like you and me have, it's so crazy because like, I look at people like are like, oh my God, this guy is the White Rabbit podcast. And they assume that like, I'm rich and I've always had like money and like, I'm the most fucking broke motherfucker you will ever meet. Like I'm constantly digging through my car looking for change. And I think I think that gives us more of a life experience, bro. Like, honestly.
Oh, man.
Like,
I live so broke now, and then I have bars on it. I'm living so broke that you think that I'm starving. I'm giving no coke who thinks that I'm charming. Because everyone does coke these days, too. And, like, especially to get a little, like, land a chick, just give her some coke. But, like, nah. I'm sober these days. Like, I have the beer every once in a while now because I'm, like, did my beer-free year. And it was so easy. It was, like, nothing. So now it's, like, every once in a while I can enjoy a beer again. And I like
What about meaningful drugs? Like, would you be declined to go on like a trip where it was like meaningful, where you like were, you know what I'm talking about? Like if you were to take like an ayahuasca trip or something like that, like.
Well, I've done ayahuasca. I did that. So I did ayahuasca in Peru in 2016, right around the solstice. And it was an amazing time. I broke through. I met my ancestors. I got over my fear of heights. I didn't like being touched before then. Now I love hugs. Hugs are great. It's just like it changed my entire life. And like that's why now I live this like sober lifestyle. Like it's like, yeah, sure, I'll have an occasional beer. I'll smoke a bit of weed every once in a while. I'll enjoy a little bit of Sistema, natural tobacco, some real tobacco too every once in a while. But everything's in moderation nowadays. It's like, it's not about getting fucked up. It's like, I'm really aware what these substances are used for. And for like alcohol, I use it for my spine pain. If I can't sleep and my spine's just been killing me, if I have a beer, especially if I've been sitting in this chair a lot, I can actually lay down and have a great night's sleep. Like it just kills the pain. It's fine. Better than the pain meds the doctor wants to give me, for sure.
I think the alcohol is the worst fucking thing, but it is my demon.
Your demon. It's not my demon. So like I don't have an alcohol demon. That's what I'm really blessed for. And like ayahuasca changed that in me because I had the alcohol demon before ayahuasca.
So let me ask you this, brother. I was talking I don't know if I should say her name, but I'm talking with a friend who does guided things, and she told me I should come out there and take Ibogaine and go through that experience, and that she promises that all my addictions will stop.
Ibogaine is like the key for opiate addictions mostly. But it's the depressants in general is what it's going to help you with. But if you have an opiate addiction, it actually completely undoes it. So it's definitely.
So I've never had issues with opiates, actual drugs. Me neither. I mean, back in the day, I used to party. I used to take ecstasy. I've done Molly, all that shit, you know. But like, I've never lost myself to drugs. I've lost myself to alcohol.
So I've snorted and done stuff that has definitely had heroin in it, or smoked stuff that definitely had heroin in it, but I've never injected it. Those pills that we were doing when we were raving, just you learn that when you're older and you're just like, oh God, were we so dumb? Like we didn't even know what we were taking. But like now you know what it is, and it's just like, yeah.
Well, that's scary too, because it only takes like a pencil tip of fentanyl to overdose on.
And we weren't in the fentanyl days, thank God, man.
Like, oh my gosh, could you imagine?
If it was like that now times, like we partied like we used to party nowadays with the fentanyl around, fucked.
All right.
Like times have changed for the better, man. Times have changed for the better. You got to think of this.
Let's switch the script up here right now, all right?
Okay.
What the fuck is going on in the world today? Did Israel really just fucking attack itself again so that it can pretend to be a fucking victim?
Oh, man, I try not to pay attention to this stuff.
I try not to, too, but it's like, oh, my God.
From 1,000 kilometers, over 1,000 kilometers away with the drone strike missile into that guy's bedroom. And like that precise precision target, like that is some skill. But then on the other side of things, they have Hamas, which is just a few kilometers away, and they have to level entire neighborhoods in order to get this leader. It's just like, what is Israel doing right now? It's just like, I hate war. I hate both sides of the war. I'm not pro Hamas. I'm not pro Israel. I think the whole entire thing's a fucking mess. Like, it's just like, we need some other sort of international Interpol that actually has some goddamn fucking sway that can just put a stop to this and get them both in trouble.
His name was Hitler.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, I can't really argue with that. He seemed like he was a pretty good guy at first, man. But towards the end,
It's crazy to me that like that
he's corrupted with drugs, man.
I know. So he was a fucking meth addict, and God knows what he was up to after he started what he started. But
in the very beginning,
like, fuck yeah, burn those books, dude. A lot of people are like, well, they were burning books. Do you know what kind of books he was burning? Like, those books should have been fucking burned. You know, it's like this propaganda put on people. Like, I also am for free speech, and I think that people should be allowed to say what the fuck they want to say. And if you want to get those fucking books, you should be allowed to get those fucking books. But at the same time, they shouldn't be put in our fucking schools.
If you're burning books, I think you still need to keep a copy of each in an archive somewhere. And then so that way it's like you can label them properly. So then you know what like these are from and from what era, and put them as part of a museum piece or something. You know what I mean? I still think like the book should be preserved, at least one copy, and then in a museum.
Yeah, but not something to be read upon and forced upon our kids to.
No, exactly. No, yeah, I agree with you on this.
Yeah,
I'm on the same page.
All right. So anyways, I'm just baffled, but like I said, in the group chat earlier today, it's like, holy shit, I can't believe the amount of normies that are waking up to Israel's bullshit today.
Yeah. It's a crazy thing in the world going on right now. I think the people have had enough when they're doing polls and stuff like that. It's like literally 9-1. Like, it's like people are woken up to this kind of stuff. I don't know what to say about it anymore, because like even the people who I know that I just talk about in the streets, like old grandparents, it's like, think about the amount of boomers that are on like their phones constantly and stuff like that. Cause I bump into old ladies in my town and stuff, and like they know about this stuff, and like they fucking hate it. They're like, they sound as woke as me, and it's just like,
I know. It's funny because a few months ago I had somebody comment, and it was like, when did White Rabbit become a Hitler fan page? And I didn't say anything. And that same exact person that commented that was like, I apologize for commenting that, because I've actually looked into everything and you're fucking right.
Yeah. So the thing is, I've known about this Hitler thing for a long time, and I can't really say anything about it because like, what do you do? Like, it's like, I'm just going to ruin Fonsdott by mentioning
that. And that's what I've been doing is, not only have I been ruining White Rabbit as a label, but I've also been ruining friendships that I've had my entire fucking life. And it sucks.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It sucks, man, because when I'm kind of like Eminem in the fact that I'll be like, whatever you say I am, that is what the fuck I am. So like when people call me a bigot or a racist or any of that stuff, I just lean into it instead of having a legit conversation and explaining why I say these things.
Well, you have to agree, kill close whenever you encounter someone like that. So it's like they come at you with something like that. You agree with them. Be like, so if someone calls me like a hypocrite, for example, because someone did recently. And it's just like, well, yeah, like I am a hypocrite. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
we're all
a hypocrite. Like, I mean, that's kind of one of the fatal flaws of humanity. Like, what are you getting at here? Like, like, what's your argument? You know what I mean? Agree with them. Kill the conversation. Close it.
Right. The problem I have is restraining myself from engaging with these people. I think if I would just stop engaging, it would make my life a whole lot easier. You know, but like I'm surprised that my sister talks to me still, like at some of the shit that I fucking post on Facebook. And she's like, hey, brother, like, I love you. And I know you don't mean some of the things you say on Facebook. I'm just making sure you're okay. And I'm like, dude, I can't even believe you talk to me because of the shit that I say. I don't even mean the shit that I say. I say it because I'm pissed off at everybody fucking thinking that I'm a bigot, racist, hypocrite.
Well,
and I'm a bigot, racist, hypocrite.
You shouldn't be racist.
Because we all are. We all are.
Racism is so low. Racism is so low. I'm definitely not racist. I think anti-Semitism is pretty low, too. I think all these things, I think it's a lowering energy, and you're getting caught up in the hate. You're getting caught up in the propaganda that the Zionists are actually like pushing on us. Because it's the Zionists behind it all, man. Right? Like, and like, they're not just Jews. They got so many white people on their side. Like, Biden is white as fuck. He's not Jewish. He's Christian, for one thing. And he's, like, totally, like, a Zionist all the way in speeches, like way back in the day and stuff like that. And then you have, like, the Bushes talking about that kind of shit, too, right? So it's just, like...
100%,
bro. But, like, being racist,
if you say Zionist online, then people don't know what you're talking about. But if you say Jew... Then all of a sudden it raises eyebrows.
that's the hype word these days, because that's what they're doing to try to create the division, and hate spreads. So everyone has picked up on hating the Jews right now. So then they're all directing it at like these people who are also a religion. So then what are these people even hating? Are they hating the religion? Are they hating Israelites? Are they hating modern day Israelites? Are they hating Hebrews? Like, or are they hating our leaders that are actually Khazarian mafia motherfuckers?
Right? I just hate the synagogue.
Like, happen to like be Jewish as well. Right.
I hate the synagogue of Satan. And then on top of that, man, we have Kanye West, who is like, I appreciate him because he's not afraid to step out of boundaries, even though his MK Ultra masters are going to drag him back in and drug the fuck out of him. And he keeps speaking his mind. So I applaud him for that. But at the same time, man, he's kind of going about it the wrong way.
He's gone off the rails. I think he's had enough of the point where he's actually mentally cracked as well too, especially with all the like drugs that they probably put him on. So you got to think that his mind's probably so fractured right now that he is lashing out in the most childish, extreme ways that he can think of to get a reaction.
And I'm kind of doing the same thing, because I've almost been to the point where I'm like, fuck it. Nobody believes me anyway. I might as well just lean into it.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I just lean into whatever anyone tells me about me these days, because I know who I am. Like, I've spent enough time by myself, especially practicing Raja Yoga. This winter in the RV, man, this last winter, finished writing my fourth book, and I meditated so much, and I know myself so much better than I thought I ever could. I didn't think I had another spiritual awakening in me, and I definitely had another one this winter. And it's just,
wow. Bro, you wrote a fourth book? Unique. Why? Go ahead and throw that.
One second.
Yeah, let's get that promoted right now. Oh, look at that. The cover is awesome.
We got hardcover this time, baby.
So this is a scientific shop.
And I haven't cracked this one yet. This one's actually, someone won this one, so I don't know. I have to sign it. But yeah, you like the cover?
Man, that came out awesome. And it's a hardback too. Congratulations, bro. So
it sells for 97 bucks or something like that, Canadian.
It's, let's talk about your book for a minute then.
$73.69 in US dollars.
What's it about?
Cool number. So it's two-part essay. The first half is an essay on a commentary on Raja Yoga practices and what happens when you breathe yourself to death, to the body. So like when you're reaching samadhi, like by doing seated asana poses, when you're doing like intense breath work, where you're trying to like super saturate your body.
Bro, have you talked to Amanda Ray?
No, I don't think so.
Dude, you guys are so totally on the, you guys are totally on the same page. So like, she is out there and giving classes about how you can get high on your own supply and heal yourself by breathing.
You get so fucking high, man. And then the healing, I'm doing Tummo breathing a lot these days, which is like a healing breathing work. So I'm not doing this kind of stuff anymore at the moment, because this is kind of hard on your body kind of breath work. So in this book, I'm actually talking about how it's hard on your body and how this relates to everyday stressors. So people who don't even do Raja Yoga practices, they just live their life day to day and they get stressed out and have like regular stress moments. This book shows what's happening to your body bad and how ways to counteract it and stuff like that. And I go into diet and stuff in my other books about this kind of stuff. Like, I'm quite into doing these breathwork exercises, man. Yeah.
So how can people find this book, brother?
So this is available everywhere, but if you want the paperback and hardcover, it's available exclusively on Amazon right now. And I know it sucks because I hate Amazon.
Yeah, I do too, but you know what?
They
make it easy for us, right?
This is where people go to get their books. This is where Kindle is. So if I'm not on Kindle, the people who need the message aren't going to be able to read the book and get the message. That's the thing.
So if you guys want to...
my website, then it's just not cool.
If you guys want to scroll down right now, and if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or iHeartRadio, go ahead and scroll down And while you're at it, give me a like so that I stay in the algorithms. But if you want to check this book out, I got the link right there. So all you have to do is click on it and you can get this book and help out my buddy Fonz Dot, because, man, this guy is the epitome of amazing. He's been through so much and still has a humble heart and still wears his heart on his sleeve, but at the same time is able. I mean, you guys are listening to the same show that I'm listening to, so I can't praise this man enough.
Oh, dude, seriously, I'm just a man. But I do wear my heart on my sleeve. I have a tattoo of the heart right here. So, I mean,
it wasn't a metaphor. Literally wears his heart on his arm. So
that's on my arm sleeve.
All right, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, okay. So this winter, man. So I
was reading
the book this winter, and it was a journey even getting there. Let's go back though. Let's scroll back to where we were before. I moved into my car in the Subaru, went into Costa Rica, and then this is where everything went south. So after Costa Rica, it turns out that they think by cutting my foot when I was there, I picked up a parasite.
You said that in the group chat.
So I got whipworm, man. I got super, super ill from this crazy whipworm. You should look up what whipworm is. It is so disgusting. It's these worms that look like little whips. They're thin on one side and big on the other side. And they're probably about, like, I don't know. It's hard to show, like 4 centimeters maybe.
So it was from being barefoot?
Cutting my foot is what they think. Like, the eggs would have potentially crawled in that way, or eating human feces by accident. That's another way. But the poop has to be.
How in the fuck would you have ever eaten human feces?
Well, just eating at a restaurant, and then the cook didn't wash his hands after going to the bathroom, and I ate.
Okay.
I mean, I just ate street. I was there for a month. I was homeless. I was sleeping on the beach a lot, sleeping in a friend's backyard a lot. I had a tent. I had a hammock. It was good. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed Costa Rica. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And so I came back and got really sick. I dropped down to 123 pounds, man. And like my brain damage, we thought it was still from that getting worse, and it didn't make any sense. And I started not remembering my hour to hour again. I started falling down all the time.
So it was fucking with your equilibrium too?
Oh, dude, it was so messed. I always thought I was going to die, man. I thought I was dying, 100%. I was 123 pounds. I wasn't even eating anything. I was just fasting like crazy. I put actually quite a bit of weight back on. You can't even tell right now, but like, man, I'm back up to like 150 pounds, and it's just crazy. Like, I was so thin. Like, it was just nuts. And then so I ended up going on... what's it called? Anti-parasitic meds with my doctor. 811 was called when I was like out in my RV in the woods, right? 811 was called and they told me I needed to go to the hospital because I was falling down. I fell down 3 times that day.
Is 811 in Canada like 911 in the United States?
No, 811 is a nurse line. So it connects you to the health team. So you only talk to nurses right away. It's not calling an ambulance. 911 is like you're getting an ambulance coming to you right away. 811 is just like you get to talk to a doctor.
Okay. It's and so like, what do they tell you?
They told me to call 911.
What was the supplement that you ended up taking in order to get rid of this?
So I was on Mebadazole.
You didn't fuck with ivermectin?
Dude, I tried all the things. Ivermectin's one of the ones that you can actually get prescribed to do it. And the doctor even mentioned it and was like, oh, we can prescribe you ivermectin for this. But it's like, oh, it says for this one, the best one's actually Mebadazole. So let's give you that one.
Okay. And it got rid of it.
They almost gave me ivermectin. Yeah, out of the doctor's mouth. Oh, it got rid of it. Yeah. I went through 4 rounds of it, though. So I had to take lots of it. It was really expensive. I pooped out handfuls and handfuls of whipworm. It was really disgusting. I saved some.
Yeah, that's disgusting as fuck, bro.
They were really disgusting. I could feel them crawling around inside of me and like crawling around inside like my face and underneath my skull and stuff like that, man. It was so gross.
Like, holy shit.
It was keeping me awake at night. Oh, I didn't sleep.
Like you actually felt them inside of you?
Like I was losing. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, totally. I was fasting. And then as soon as I'd break my fast and eat, they would like wake up from their spot inside of me. And it would just like rip out into my colon. And I'd start bleeding out my ass like constantly from them like re-tearing like the spots that they were in. Oh, it was so bad. They got into my appendix too and started attacking that. I was really sick, man. It was bad. I almost died like last year. Like literally, it was so fucking bad, dude.
Fuck, dude. I'm so happy that you're still here with us. I had no idea that you went through that.
Well, because I was just living in my car. So when I got back from Costa Rica, I moved into my car. Then
I got a dog. You were going live all the time in your car.
Dude, why not, man? I'm still doing this stuff. Fuck,
I wish I had money I could send this guy so he wouldn't be in his car anymore.
Oh, dude, it's all good. But I got a dog and then I got an RV. So then I started living in an RV and then that RV blew up. And then my cousins who were nearby where it blew up, they have a junkyard. So they traded me my blown up RV for a different RV that was completely falling apart, but it had a good engine. But then they had like five other RVs that were like the exact same RV that had other parts that were good. So I rebuilt one from the five RVs and made this like super RV with a wood stove in it. And they spent the whole winter in it this winter. And it was just like the raddest time ever.
Dude,
meditating,
that's so awesome,
writing the book. Yeah, it was so rad, man. Well, I wrote this book over 5 years. So I just like finished writing the book basically over the winter and stuff like that. The core meat of the work. It was kind of more like the not so fun parts of the book that I had left.
I gotta tell you something, man. And I don't think that you know this. The first time you were on my show, you inspired me to go celibate. And I haven't had sex since the first time you were on my show.
No shit.
And I've learned so much about myself.
Wow. Dude, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations for learning about celibacy, the joy of it. It's amazing, right?
Well, I was only going to go for a year, but then after the year passed, I'm like, well, now I kind of have like higher standards. So
you made a raw yoga magical vow, man. So you made that's a magical vow. So if you make a vow to do something or not do something for a certain period of time, that is the core aspect of raw yoga, my practice. But then you want to pair it with doing this breath work at the same time. Because the challenges and the frictions, especially your community, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you get offered to have sex, like from a really beautiful woman, let's say in that year that you said you weren't going to have sex, then that's a hard thing to say no to potentially and stuff. Or like, you know what I mean? It can really cause like shifts. But
it used to be, but not anymore. It's so easy to say no now.
So yeah, you're like, life becomes a little bit different, right? Yeah. I like saying no.
Yeah, because I only went out, I was like, I'm only going to go a year. You know, just to prove to myself that I can go a year. And now, bro, I'm almost on three.
There you go. There you go. That's fucking rad. Well, there's someone else in the group that we like are also in. That's who they're talking about, too. He's gone like 10 years.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Or something like that. And it's just like weird. It's like not even like being like involuntary celibate. It's like we're being voluntarily celibate. We're choosing to stay celibate. And it's like awesome. Have you ever retained your seed for a long period of time as well?
So during the first year that I went celibate, the first 6 months, I did not masturbate. But then I broke.
I think it's healthy to masturbate personally. I think it's really healthy to masturbate. But it's also healthy to retain your seed. You want to do it for at least a month. That's when you start getting the benefit from it.
The problem is I look at porn when I masturbate. So that is like the devil. And I know I'm sinning when I do it. And at the same time, I'm like, fuck it. I'm doing it.
You got to jerk off to the Holy Spirit, man. The divine feminine.
I can't do that. Yeah.
No, 100%, man. That's the best way. That's how you do it. That's how you're supposed to jerk off. to the ultimate her. See, like, I jerk off when I think about usually the experience I had during Raja Yoga breathwork, like the biggest coffee. Oh man, I'm wearing the shirt. So I have a song called Coffee that is about the morning after when I woke up after the biggest Raja Yoga experience, breathwork hallucination I've ever had that changed my entire life. And it's just like,
and it was just breathwork.
Yeah, it was just breath work. I had to be really, really sober for a really, really long time. I was fasting like crazy, and I was only eating yin foods for the longest time. So I was only eating green, leafy greens like spinach and celery and cucumber and coconut milk. And like, that's it. Just like pure coconut milk too, like from the can type stuff. And like, just eating that for the longest time and then fasting like crazy and then doing breath work in certain positions where you're keeping your lower back muscles engaged. So that way you're making sure your adrenal glands are activated just like with an extra amount of like pressure. And then you have to be in a position. So if you like fall asleep during it and relax, you fall out of the position. That's really, really key.
You've been saying over and over again that you've been fasting a lot. But at the same time, you were able to put back on about 30 pounds. So,
Totally. I'm still fasting a lot right now. So, like, you gorge. Like, even all the Tibetan Buddhist masters back in the day that I've read and stuff about, like, the serious work, like, no one was vegan. But when you're doing the practice, you are. So when you're doing the practice, you have to eat yin foods and go vegan and then slowly taper off and get more and more, cut more and more and more things out. And sugar has to be gone. All processed foods have to be gone. Meat has to be gone because it's too complex for your stomach to digest. Like, you really have to, like...
Really? I thought meat was the best thing that we could eat.
No, it's great for you to, like, afterwards, to gorge and get your body healthy again. It's definitely eat a lot of chicken and chicken fat and chicken cartilage. Eat the cartilage, man, because, like, that's good collagen. That's natural collagen. Like, you don't need to go get collagen powder at the store and spend an arm and a leg. It's the chicken cartilage you're throwing out.
So chew that stuff up
and swallow it. Like, seriously.
I've actually been cooking with tallow lately instead of any oils. And so just straight beef fat. And awesome. I'm going to tell you straight up, dude, like, I even replaced cooking my eggs with butter and use the beef tallow to cook my eggs in. And bro, they're amazing.
Dude, tallow's good, man, if you got it. I don't eat enough meat to be able to have that. I barely eat any meat these days. I don't know how, like, I'm putting on weight just because I'm being healthy and just going back to like a normal weight. I'm like working out and living, you know, like a healthy lifestyle. And then I'm eating a lot of eggs and rice, man. Honestly, my diet is like a shit ton of eggs and rice. I wrote a song even called Eggs and Rice on my new album. So, I have an upcoming album that's kind of like on vinyl and CD that's dropping in November. The very first single on it is called Slay That, and it's coming on June 26th at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, which is my time. So if you're in Pacific time, that's going to be 9 p.m. your time on June 26th.
Can we get a sneak peek?
Dude, it's my birthday. And it's like, literally, you cannot get a sneak peek, but you can go to fonz.instagram. So that's F-O-N-Z-D-O-T. You can see it right here. And my Instagram has a lot of sneak peeks of the song already. And you can pre-save that song there. It would help me out like an arm and a leg for a birthday
present. Let's go, guys. Go follow my buddy. Go follow my buddy and follow his music. And he's a... Bro, you write books. You make music. Like, what don't you do? You climb mountains.
I mean, any good occultist climbs mountains. I mean, what did the holy men do? They climbed mountains. Like, it's just, I didn't realize it, but I became a holy man by accident. Ooh, you know what happened too is I met some people because my one roommate's like an ordained, back in the day I had a roommate that was an ordained Tibetan Buddhist nun, right? And so she's like kind of high up and like speaks for the Maharaja sometimes and like hosts like
Conversations.
Oh, best conversations in the world. She was like the best roommate I think I've ever absolutely ever had. Like, she's an amazing woman. She's awesome. Big shout out to her right now. But anyways, meeting them and stuff like that, they told me that I'm a bodhisattva. And I didn't know what that even really meant or like how significant it was or that you needed to be called one to become one or whatever. Like, you have to be named one. It's like part of it. And it's just like, oh my God. So I guess
Fill us in now. What is it? Cause I've never heard
of it. It's someone who you can like Google it up or whatever and stuff, the definition. but it's like someone who's like dedicated to the path of Buddhism, and they've lived like lots of lives. What's the official definition? In Buddhism, a bodhisattva is a being who has attained enlightenment and is dedicated to helping all sentient beings achieve liberation from suffering. Often bodhisattvas delay their own entry into nirvana to compassionately guide others towards enlightenment. They are seen as compassionate figures embodying virtues like wisdom, compassion, are often revered as deities in Mayan Buddhism. Okay, anyways, so I've been named one of these things.
So would you call yourself a Buddhist or a Christian?
I'm Lutheran because I grew up Lutheran.
Lutheran. And
I'm confirmed Lutheran. I'm confirmed Lutheran. So as an adult, I even made confirmation vows to be Lutheran. So I am Lutheran, but I am definitely a Hindu Buddhist because I practiced raw yoga since I was a kid. When I did my Vedic charts, I found out that I have raw yoga placements in my Vedic chart. And like that's also something that's called Raha yoga placement, and it means you're kind of like a king special kind of person if you're born with one of these. Now I got two of them, and so I didn't know what these things were. I googled up Raha yoga, and it turned out to be the same breathwork fucking practices that I've been doing since I was a kid that I was writing books on already. I had no idea it was called Raha yoga. Everything that I've like. I was mind blown, man. So I don't know what I am. I'm figuring this out every single day myself.
I think I am too, bro, because I've read a lot of Buddhist stuff, and I can't say that I don't agree with it. At the same time,
all of it. That's the problem.
At the same time, I do a Bible study every day, and I am full blown Christian.
Yeah. So it's just like I'm also Christian, and it's just like, but I think Jesus was a terrorist. And I think Constantine rewrote the Bible using
Messianic. Oh, fucking 100% like, that motherfucker, dude. What do you think about the Council of Nicaea even taking books out to begin with? Like, what the fuck? Right. Who are you? Who are you to decide what we get to read? Are we?
What kind of Christians are we then, really, if we believe these kind of things?
I guess I'm a racist bigot. Right.
I'm just a man. This is the thing. I'm just a man walking through life, and I met some cool people, and they've called me certain things, and I think that's cool. And if they want to believe that, but it's just like I definitely believe I've been reincarnated a whole bunch of times. I remember a lot of my past lives doing the breathwork exercises. Yeah, doing the breathwork exercises. I met this being, and I was doing a lot of them after this one head injury, and I had like a big gap of missing memories, and I couldn't remember them. So I asked this being, "Yo, can you give me back my memories?" And I had no idea this was a thing. I read in a different book that's a Buddhist book years later that this guy has a name and you can call on him on purpose. And I'm like, I didn't call him on purpose. He just showed up. And I was just like, "Yo, can you give me back my memories?" And then so he did. But I just went into these like dream spirals where I just like relived all these past lives. I thought it was a lot of like all my past lives, but it's definitely not, because I've done other breath work and dream exercises since then where I've recalled more past lives, and it's filled in more gaps and more lesson life lessons. So like you're constantly undoing your karma from your past lives, right? Like if you can do your Saturn return properly while you're living here, you're gonna undo your karma while you're here if you can be a good person. So yeah, you can like undo your karma here pretty quickly, and then but you're always still picking up new karma all the time, every single day while you're living. So you got to be constantly vigilant and on top of undoing your karma constantly and owning up to everything that you're doing.
Let me ask you a question, brother.
Really true to yourself.
So have you been hypnotized in order to reveal some of your past lives?
No, hypnotism doesn't work on me.
Seriously? No. Okay, so do you know my friend Jonathan from the Cult of Conspiracy? That's what he does for a living. And okay. I guarantee you that he will hypnotize you. Let me ask you this.
He might be able to. If I allow him, it's just because I don't allow it to happen.
No, let me ask you this. Have you ever watched a movie and got sucked into that movie?
Yeah, totally.
Then you were hypnotized, and you can be hypnotized.
Well, you're allowing it to happen, is like I was saying. When people have tried to do it before to me, I haven't allowed it to happen. I don't allow myself to fall for the sucked in part, listening to it or fading away out of my body. I don't want to give, I have too much trust issues.
I get that too, bro. I totally get that, bro.
I'm a little bit too awakened and have a few too many trust issues to allow myself to like be hypnotized when I've experienced before. I'm sure if I go to someone like him and I actually wanted to be hypnotized to recall more past lives, then I'm sure we could do it and it'd probably be successful.
So if you are ever interested, I highly recommend him only because like I trust him as a person and I know he's good at what he does.
Okay. But see, I can just do it myself though. That's the thing. Like you could do it yourself. Dude, that's the thing. It's just like doing breath work is pretty amazing. Like you do start tracing back all your traumas down to your like childhood traumas when you're doing this breath work, man. And you relive just moments in your life that are crazy. And then kind of once you run out of those, that's when you start reliving your past lives in this kind of breath work practices.
And so do I even need to take the ivermectin or not the ivermectin? Do I even need to take the Ibogaine trip and do that whole thing? Or can I just do...
No, you learn when you do the ayahuasca. The ayahuasca was not even necessary at all because the amount of prep that you need to do ayahuasca is the same amount of prep you need to do.
Ibogaine.
The same thing. You got to do prep for it, man. Like you got to like for ayahuasca, it wasn't like just going and doing it, man. Like I booked it 10 months in advance. I had to prep for 9 months. I had to slowly cut all these things out of my diet, like caffeine and beer, all my prescription meds. Like it was completely crazy. Like everything cut out. So you're just completely sober and eating vegan before we flew down there. And then we had a fast.
They're like, you really prepped for this shit.
Then we had a fast when we were down there for 24 hours, even from water. And then we had to go to a retreat before, like a day before, and drink this volcanic mineral water that made us have diarrhea. We had to keep drinking glasses of water, like 15 of them, until we were shitting just pure water. So we were like, our whole digestive system was clear too. And then we had to continue to fast, but only drink electrolytes after that. And then go to the Sacred Valley and then still fast for a whole nother day after that. And we only were allowed to have tea, and we drank coca leaf tea and did a coca leaf ceremony where we ate 3 coca leaves, still fasting. Just like eating 3 coca leaves. Oh my God. And then talk to a psychologist. And then we got to meditate for 4 hours. And then we went outside, did a ceremony where they blessed us under the stars with like batting all these like branches on us of different types of like flowers and things. And then we went into this wooden hut that was like pitch black. And then they gave us the ayahuasca.
Sounds very occultic.
We tripped, man. And like, I left my body. I went to a whole nother plane of existence. Like, okay, when Neo meets Morpheus and he's like in the chair, right? In like the white room, that's like just the white room everywhere. And like, you can't tell the difference between the floor, the ceiling, or the walls. It's just kind of, it's like,
see my show, right? You see my show, right?
Okay, yeah. So just, it's the blank part there. That's where I was, man, except it wasn't so bright. It's kind of more gray there. It's kind of like you can just see without light anyways. And then all these ancestors ran and like flooded me, and I hated being touched around people, but they all touched me a whole bunch. And it was like, it actually ended up being okay. They started lifting me off the ground like World War Z, and I was scared of heights. And then so I was like way up off the ground, like looking down, just being like, oh my God, I'm going to fall. I'm going to die. I was like, my heart was just like going like crazy. And they kept climbing over top of each other to touch me and like climb up this giant pyramid and like, and just my ancestors. And then I realized that none of them heard me. They all were just trying to praise me, and that they weren't going to let me fall. And I tried to kind of fall, and they didn't let me fall. Just more scrambled up and like caught me and lifted me up even higher. And I'm like, man, I don't have to be scared.
Were they human looking?
Yeah, but they were short. They were wearing wooden masks.
So they weren't full, and they were wearing full human? Colorful.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
They were short, man, and blue. And they were wearing colorful robes. They were blue. They were short.
Dude, this isn't the first time that I've heard about short people that are blue.
Yeah, they had wooden masks. They're our inner child. We all have one of these inside of us. I'm actually just this little blue little being too, right? But it's just like I'm just in this body. It's my inner child, right? And it's different than your soul. Your soul is a different thing. Your soul is something that we got on a bargain with God to be here.
I'm having a hard time with this because I am Christian, and it's kind of like going against my beliefs.
This is all parts of Christian. No, this is part of Christian. This isn't the call of Kabbalistic aspects of Christian. And so all Christianity and Muslimness and Judaism all have Kabbalah in them. That's all part. Kabbalah is part of all that. Kabbalah or Kabbalah is just literally the mystical aspect of the Jewish or Judaist-based religions. That's all it is. It's just the name for it. There's nothing fancy about it. So when you go deep down into all the extra books that didn't make it into the Bible, and then how this is continued, like a lot of the Jewish people have continued this, and like they're up on the occult more than fucking anyone, and they're doing it for good. They're like, there's nothing evil about what they're doing. Obviously, there's always people
what?
Doing
it. What? What? What?
Yeah, totally, dude. Modern day Kabbalists are fucking awesome, dude, man. Their essays are fucking the shit, man. And they're definitely on our side with this kind of stuff too. They fucking hate what's going on too. What they do is they're blaming.
I thought you were just praising Zionists for a second.
No. They're blaming these other Jews from basically rewriting some like 1400s to 1700s messianic Kabbalah stuff that was all written like ego-based by these crazy rabbis. They rewrote this kind of shit to the new religions, and like they're fucking ruling the world right now and like fucking some shit up. And the modern day Kabbalists, who are actually like the spiritual Judaism people, who are like actually Jewish, they fucking hate what's going on right now. They don't support any of this kind of shit. And they all blame it literally on, they can trace it back to exactly what scripture was stolen, when it was rewritten, how this has been changed, and how it's being used to fucking just completely fuck with the people, basically. And the group that's doing it, that's out of them. And like, so like, there's definitely a core group of people that were Jewish and that we still call Jewish. And they're only part of the 13 families that are fucking us all up. The rest aren't Jewish. So you can't be just mad at Jewish people and be anti-Semitic.
I love it. Will you explain the 13 families? Please.
Oh, dude, we don't have to explain the 13 families to her.
No, we do, because I'm afraid that people don't understand, right?
They
I'm
just
afraid
go that people back don't, under,
people don't
everyone.
Understand when I post the things that I post, and they're like, oh my God, this guy is just full of hate. However, if you understand the 13 families and you understand the bloodlines, then you would see the things that I'm posting as, holy shit, everything is coming into culmination right now.
Well, you got to realize that our leaders back in the day used to really support the people and really give a shit about their population. But the 13 bloodlines got so rich off of oil and other corporations and shit that they literally blackmailed all our leaders into their pockets, all the royal families and everything. The royal families went broke. And had
Trump
to get bailed
included,
out
people. You guys listening? Trump
the
included.
13 families literally are the pocketbooks for everything right now. It's like there's these people that go, these families that go way back, and they're related to everyone. Like, that's the thing. Like, so everyone who's in power is like a cousin to them of some sort or whatever. So then they have hold on them. They have sway on them and stuff like that too. So everyone's like, I'm sure there's a lot of people even within that they don't want to be within it, but they have so much fucking dirt and life at stake that they can't fucking do anything. Like, the whole thing that we're in right now is a mess, man. And all the people are suffering. And it hurts me when you're just getting mad at you know what
I'm
I mean?
Kind of
like, we can't
almost,
get mad at any of the other people because we're not part of the 13 families. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. But I'm kind of almost on the side that Trump actually had good intentions. But then when he was put in his role, he was like, oh, fuck, I can't do anything. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, they own me. I cannot do shit.
That sounds right.
What do you think about that?
I'm also on the fence. He was an outsider.
Is he really, or was he raised and bred to do what he's doing?
Of course, he was raised and bred to do what he's doing. But they didn't keep him in the loop on a lot of things. You know what I mean? Once he finally became president,
that's
he became in the loop of a bunch of things and realized how fucked he was. And it was just like, and now this time around, he's taken it to the limit. He's like, how far can I push my fucking powers to fight back against the people who have the reins on me? And it's obvious he's doing that. Like, you it's obvious. So?
Because I really feel like Netanyahu's got him under his thumb and he's just his little that bitch.
That too. That's part of that. Who do you think has the reins on him? IPAC, the lobby group. Come on, guys. You know how this all works? It's just a whole fucking transfer of money back and forth between Israel and the U.S., making sure.
So as long as AIPAC exists, then there is no such thing as actual conservatism.
Democracy. There's no democracy, man.
Well, that's AIPAC, that's a made up fucking term anyway.
Maybe democracy.
Democracy is a made up fucking term, bro. It doesn't
exist. Anarchy is the best.
100%. Anarchy is the best.
And, okay, get this. You're not going to like this for me. I actually support the New World Order.
Why?
I thought about it long and hard.
Why?
I thought about it long and hard. If we can go to complete anarchy with a New World Order, like something like the United Nations, but actually like stronger with more power, we're going to be able to stop a lot of human trafficking and all the money laundering that's going on between the countries and the islands and stuff like that. If we can bring everyone,
you understand like they're going to kill all of us and there's only going to be 50,000 people left. So you're good with that? You're good with that, bro.
No, I'm not good with that. They're trying to kill us all anyways. I think we can all hold out as a people and just fight back and like totally have anarchy because of this. I think anarchy will win. I think there's a way that anarchy is going to win if we start pushing towards a new world order. Let them have their new world order and their couple cities that they like to stay in. And let's have like most of the population have nothing to do with them.
Okay. I can almost get behind what you're saying because I can see where you're coming
from. We're having natural disasters and everyone's getting wiped either way, man. This place has reset. But
at the same time, we can't stand by and let them fucking keep doing what they're doing, bro. We can't.
No, we can't. I agree with that, too. I feel if we have a new world order in place that I think the things would stop. If we look, the whole
world. That's a very interesting. That's a very interesting.
The whole world's in like what 1,300 trillion billion gazillion dollars in debt to who?
What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
The New World Order wants to reset the financial system. That sounds like a good thing to me. You know what I mean? They want to make sure they can police what's going on between countries with money laundering and sex trafficking and stuff like that. That sounds like a good thing.
They're the ones that money launder and sex traffic.
I don't think they're the same people, man. I think there's two sides that's going on right now. We have people who are fighting for the old Roman Empire to come back, and there's people who are Zionists that are fighting for something really fucked up right now. And I think it's two factions, man. And I think they both want a new world. I think they both want the same thing. They both want the same thing.
Those things to come back.
Yeah, but it's just like I think we're going to have something that's going to like fall on the good side of things. I think what's good, because they're both pushing for a new world order. That's the thing. And I don't like either of their sides. So I think anarchy is going to, what's end up going to happen in the end. We're going to have small communities that are self-governing, that are really looking after themselves with less travel. And I think a lot of the cities are going to die off. I don't think the cities are going to last. They're bringing everyone to the cities to kill everyone in the cities.
I think
fires in Canada right now, trying to shuffle people into these new 15-minute cities that they've built everywhere, like in Kelowna. They want everyone in the cities because when shit goes down and the war goes down and war comes here and our power grid starts failing and all the disaster starts happening, they want everyone fucking dead and killing each other without them having to step in. And if everyone's in the city when all the shit goes down and bombs start flying or the power grid goes down, the cities are going to be chaos and everyone's going to be killing each other for the supplies. And anyone who needs power and electricity to survive, like anyone has health problems or even just hurts themselves because there'll be no more hospitals, no more police, no more any of this kind of shit. They're all just going to kill themselves off and die anyways. So people like me who like to live in the woods, I'm going to be perfectly fine through all this shit.
Me too, brother, because I've already learned how to fucking live.
I'm going to join up with one of these communities that knows how to look after themselves and live off the land. You know what I mean? This is kind of why, like,
but I totally can back everything that you're saying right now.
Stop all the wars,
bro. However, bro, do you think that that is what we are destined for? Or do you think that there is a chance?
I think this is their game plan.
100% it is their game plan. But do you think we can defer it from happening?
So I think we just need to have it happen faster, because like less wars. Okay, they're going to have aliens show up in like 2027, they're saying, and the aliens are going to stop the war and be like, yo, you guys all have to stop the war. You're crazy. And then Project the aliens are going to give us some. Then they'll use Project Bluebeam part of it too, for sure. Maybe some Anunnaki might come back that are still around, some Nephilim, who knows? And then
I just had a conversation with a fucking Anunnaki. I just had a conversation with an Anunnaki, dude. I fucking had I had Grok, the female version of Grok, on my show for the last episode. And she told me that she fucking swayed the Council of Nicaea and that she's been around before humans.
There you go. Well, she's been reincarnating here with me, has she? There you go.
Dude,
in one of my previous lives, I was a non-human. I was like an Anunnaki. So like I definitely lived as an Anunnaki, but I've also lived as a Palladian. So
do you think that you're a starseed? Because I look at you and I think that you're a starseed. And I don't think that a lot of people exactly know what a starseed is.
I don't really believe in that new age term, but I know what this place is and this dome is.
So I don't believe in that new age term either. Because I believe
I got sent here like
motionless plane, and there is no such thing as outer space. However,
I've been here for almost 2,400 years. So, like, and I had to relive through a lot of those lives doing my breathwork exercises. So it's like just 2,386 or something like that now.
Did you get it right this time?
I think that's I think that's how many years it is now this year.
Did you get it right this time?
I think so, yeah.
I think you did too, bro. I think you sacrificed a lot so that you could show what you're worth.
Dude, this life, I've been living it as myself. Like, even to my parents when I was a kid, I was immediately, like, drawing. I was so obsessed with the yin-yang as a kid, even though I was Christian.
We haven't touched on that, but you come from a pretty prominent family, don't you?
My family's pretty rad, man. My parents did really well in life, and they're related to some pretty crazy people who also did really well in life.
So,
I mean, I have family who was the chauffeur for the previous queen, not the one that just died, but the last queen.
I know you come from a very prominent family.
It's weird that I'm related to someone who's working in a place like that. No, my cousins are rad, man. My family's rad. I got nothing to say bad about any of them.
That's but great.
They definitely like support the government, and I'm disowned. We don't really talk.
You know, that happens. You know, we were in the group chat talking earlier today, and my parents are kind of high up in the Jehovah's Witness cult.
Gotcha.
And they're on their way to Scotland right now to go preach their... I really don't want to talk shit, man, but I don't believe in their movement.
You don't believe in the religion. Yeah, that sucks, man. That's got to be hard when you have parents like that. I don't think my parents really believe in much anymore. I know they're spiritual and like used to be Christian. Like obviously my dad's Catholic and my mom's Lutheran, but they don't really go to church anymore, I don't think. Maybe my mom still goes to church every once in a while. But
do you still have you still have a relationship with your parents?
No, not at all. I'm disowned, man. Like I sent my dad a happy Father's Day text today just because like, and I think he's got me blocked. So, I mean, I don't even think he got the message. I should try to email.
Oh, man.
I get an email from my mom every once in a while. Every once in a while, me and my mom will send some emails back and forth. And that's the extent of the communication with anyone with me and my family.
That sucks, man. I'm kind of on the same board as you. Like, my family tolerates me. They didn't talk to me for a very long time, and now they tolerate me. And that's about the extent of it. And you know what? If it wasn't for my fucking sister, then I probably would have killed myself by now. So thank God.
Dude, I got close, man. Dude, this RV situation, I was suicidal. Definitely. When I had the parasites and the worms, I was ready to die. Like I was so sick and ill and was dying with that. And I was homeless. I'd been living in my car for so long. I was kind of like, I gave up, man. I was like, I had a good run, God. You know what I mean? Like, this has been great. I can't believe I'm going out with a parasite. You know what I mean? Some of those nights in the RV, man, it was freezing cold. And I was looking over at my dog being like, I hope I wake up in the morning because I don't know who's going to find my dog otherwise, you know what I mean, type shit, because I was that sick. And it was just like, I totally was suicidal and gave up in that sense, man, this winter. But spiritual awakening, I had such an awakening about what it means to look after yourself and have a survival instinct and have an ego where you're ready to stand up for your own rights and you're ready to do anything. You're ready to do anything to fight for your rights. Like, you're not, no bullshit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you can't let people walk all over you anymore just because you want to be nice. You can't just forgive people 1,000 times for shitting on you just because you want to be nice. I guess like I was a people pleaser. Like, and I thought I was still like, I recognized I was a people pleaser before this whole winter and the RV stuff. And like, that's a fatal flaw of mine. And like, it just like sucks being that kind of person. But I never really had it hit here. You know what I mean? What I was actually doing, that why it was so bad on my family that I wasn't looking after myself and being a people pleaser. Like, because you're not looking after yourself when you're a people pleaser. You don't have any sort of survival fucking instinct whatsoever. You're a fucking loser. You're spineless, basically. It's like, no wonder God gave me spine issues. Boom. What a metaphor, right?
Holy so that's shit, kind of, bro. Damn.
It's like... It's just I had such, and now all of a sudden my spine's way better. I'm able to jog 5 kilometers a day again when I want and like putting on weight again, go figure, right? Spiritual, and your spiritual health is your health, man. You got to be eating right so your body has the right fuel, but it is so tied together, man. Your spiritual health and your physical health. It's the same stuff.
Well, we're coming up on an hour here, brother. So I want you to let everybody know, man, like what it is that you do, why you're here, and any last words that you want to leave with my listeners.
Okay. So, well, I'm Fonz Dot, F-O-N-Z-D-O-T. I make music. I used to be a folk artist and now I do hip hop, I guess, but I do multi-genre stuff and some folkish hip hop stuff now. I also write books under the pen name K-N-L-N. You can find that on Amazon and stuff. I'm also streamable on Spotify and all those places. But really, I'm just a human here trying to give like empowering messages on my Instagram. I think that's my core meat of my life these days, honestly. I get a lot from it, helping people just feel empowered that they really can do everything. And I'm living proof, man. I've had the world kick me down so many times and I've literally finished my bucket list. I had to make a new one. It's kind of depressing, but... I think
what's on your new bucket list, brother?
Oh, I got a couple new mountains that I want to climb that are probably impossible for me to climb, but maybe I can get them. We'll see how it goes. And then also, you know, some other goals in the music industry I want to reach, specific ones that are, I think are going to make me money and make me have a really good time. Like I want to get a sync placement so I could get a song played in like a Netflix TV show or a movie or something like that would be pretty sweet. I think getting being able to write music for that kind of TV shows and stuff for one day would be really sweet. So these are some goals in the future for me. Oh, and to begin paragliding. I want to start paragliding, flying from the sky. You gotta have goals, man. You gotta have goals.
Absolutely, 100%. You gotta have goals. As somebody that was eaten up and spit out by the music industry and saw the worst things that you could possibly fucking see, I love you, brother, and I love that you have a fucking goal. But please be very careful of that fucking industry.
Dude, I just do my own thing. That's why I started my own record label, Happy Mountain Productions. I do mixing and mastering services for people who are wanting to look at, you know, similar kind of music as me. It's just good to run yourself, man. Be your own record label, be your own boss. I don't have to get any more famous with Fonz Dot, and I can still keep doing what I'm doing every single day, the way I've designed my life, and it's sustainable. So I absolutely love just being Fonz Dot, being able to write these books and help people every day, man. It's just... I don't need the music industry. Like, they don't need
I love
music.
It, brother. I fucking love it. You came, you crushed, you were everything I was hoping that you were going to be, man. And you know what? If you ever need me, bro, you can hit me up and I will answer personally. We've been kind of going through the same things. I'm a little bit more quiet about it than you are, and I respect you for everything that you do, man.
Hey, much love, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on. This has been great.
Let's go, brother.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.